this trapeze moment, you know, talks about, you know, you're holding on to this one trapeze bar. And in order to get to the next bar, you have to totally release the first bar and jump to the second bar. And a lot of people think, oh, if I just hold on to the first bar and then kind of grab onto the second one, I'll be able to kind of swing on both bars and make it work. And that's just not how it works at all. You have to be able to release that fear and kind of let go of that comfort for a little while and you know, take that risk. And if you do 100%, it totally pays off. And if it doesn't, you just have to look at it as a learning experience.
This is 118 with Philip Randazzo. Today's episode is brought to you by Fiverr.com. Fiverr.com gives you instant access to millions of creative and professional services from people who love what they do. So if you ever need to get your work done and you have limited time or budget, these are the people to get it done. In fact, this podcast was created by many things from Fiverr. The intro and outro music, Fiverr.com. The logo for UID Media, Fiverr.com. A lot of the editing that I've done with the podcast has also been from Fiverr.com. So if you're looking for people to really help out with your internet marketing, help you improve your search engine optimization, and a host of various other things, all you need to do is search through the wide variety of talent and find the best seller for you. Make an order in one click and you're done. It's easy to get your work done on time and under budget. With over 150 categories of services offered, you will always find what you're looking for. I mean, there's literally everything that you can find there. I've seen people go sell ads or even stuff like tattoos on there. So you never know what you can find, but it's always great promo for your stuff. Sign up to Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com. Use promo code NOMADS and get 20% off your first purchase. Fiverr.com. Any digital service in just one click.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxas.
Welcome, everybody. Today, I have with me Philip Randazzo, and Philip is the co-founder of the Yield Mastermind Group. They help many young adults across the country reach their goals, find community and accountability, and much more. Today's episode is going to be raw, real, and you know, it's with a fellow millennial, and many of you listening know, you know, I'm all about inspiring the next set of global leaders. You know, my mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. And I feel like, you know, Philip is really one of those different makers who's was on a mission to do that. You know, he's a 23-year-old entrepreneur who's built an incredible community of you know, change makers or aspiring change makers. And I'm excited to share a story with you all. Welcome to the show, Philip.
Yeah, Tayo, thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
So tell us about yourself. How did you get started to, you know, into Yield Mastermind Group, and how did you just start realizing that you needed to change and pivot into this?
Yeah, so, you know, and part of my story is, you know, I went through a lot of struggle early on, and but before that, you know, I grew up in a very privileged household. My father's an entrepreneur. I grew up kind of surrounded by thinking outside of the box and understanding that, you know, things aren't always as they seem and to not really follow the conventional path. And growing up like that was great, but it kind of got away from me. I ended high school, early college career, and then from there realized I needed to make some changes and saw the benefit of, you know, bringing together a bunch of like-minded individuals. And that is basically what we're doing with the Yield Mastermind Group. And it's funny, you know, in the intro you talk about supporting the next generation. And, you know, our mission statement is supporting the next generation of leaders. I mean, that's really what we're about. We want to support people in their missions. We want to help people reach their goals. We want people to realize their full potential and kind of see that to fruition. So that's the mission we're on right now.
Wow. So You touched on it there, and I do love the mission statement, because you know I've always said that with the podcast, and I was on your side. I was like, this guy gets it. That this is synergy right here, because we feel the same way. But I want to hone in on the challenges you said. You said you've gone through a few struggles. Can you highlight those and maybe share, you know, what those struggles have been?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I towards the end of my high school career, I was always an athlete. I played basketball. I played tennis. I played football. I had some prospects to play college basketball. And, you know, being the young, dumb kid that I was, I didn't see the benefit in that. And, I got mixed up in partying. I started getting into alcohol and drugs. And, you know, at first it was sort of innocent, if you will, as innocent as drugs and alcohol in high school can be anyways. And, from there got mixed up into worse and worse things. And when I left high school to college, I thought, okay, this is my chance to make a change. And I was doing good for a little while, and then the drugs and partying kicked back in. Looking back, had I realized the benefit that college basketball could bring into my life, I should have done that right away. But at the same time, you know, there's lessons that we have to learn that I think really benefit people in the future. And this is one of those lessons that I had to learn. And so, you know, the drugs kicked into a point where I got kicked out of my college, got kicked out of my house. My parents no longer, you know, wanted to deal with all my shenanigans. And so, you know, I was homeless there for a little while, and just living day by day, trying to figure out really what it is that I wanted to do. I mean, this, when you hit a low point like that, it causes a lot of self-reflection. And in that self-reflection, kind of, you know, just realizing that there's so much more to life. And, you know, this is my 19-year-old self thinking. And so I went back home, got help. I ended up going to rehab in Tennessee. And, from there, thank God, really haven't had any trouble since then. But that's kind of been my path. And then from there, you know, I went on to just basically relive what I always wanted to do. And so from there, I attended 6 different universities in 4 different states after that, which is a pretty crazy stint. But towards the end of that, college basketball was always still in mind. And so one of my goals once I, you know, went to rehab and got help was to play college basketball. And everybody thought I was crazy. Like, oh, who's this 19-year-old kid from Vegas? I grew up in Las Vegas, so you can only imagine the stories that I might have.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, I ended up playing college basketball at this school in Illinois called Elmhurst College, and it was awesome, and graduated, and now I'm doing this Yield Mastermind thing. And it has been a crazy roller coaster journey, but I have loved and learned from every minute of it.
You know what's interesting about your story is you decided that you needed change. I'm always curious with stories like yours where, you know, you said, you know, it's from the outside, it looked like you came from privilege. You know, you had all these opportunities that you didn't necessarily appreciate at the time. But then mm-hmm. when you had hit rock bottom, what always amazes me is what causes people to change and go up. Because, you know, you're already at the bottom and everybody had left you, you know, or at least left you to sort of fend for yourself since they thought you were being detrimental to them. What was it? What was the turning point for you? What was the exact turning point, or maybe it was a series of turning points that you realized this has got to go?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, and I'll say really quickly that, you know, people, my family never really turned on me. Mm-hmm. They needed to let me go to find my way mm-hmm. and just to kind of figure things out. But yeah, so, you know, I can remember specifically I was, you know, living at one of my buddy's houses because, you know, he and I were mixed up in the same things, and he was really the only person that, you know, trusted me enough to let me live in his home. And so in that, you know, span where I was, you know, living there, and, you know, no one, my friends didn't want to talk to me because I was the shady guy and they didn't know what I really wanted from them. And I just remember waking up one morning and, you know, I walked out and, you know, I see him sitting there, and like, I just, you know, I never really realized how bad we probably looked. I mean, we probably looked like we hadn't slept in a couple of weeks, and we looked really shady. And for some reason that morning, it just clicked. I looked at him. I was like, man, he does not look good. And then I looked in the mirror and saw myself, and I was like, wow, I look exactly like he does. This is probably not a good thing. And, you know, I kind of reverting back to some of the things, you know, my dad, when I was growing up, had me read Think and Grow Rich, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and kind of thinking back on, wow, you know, this is not what successful people do. This is not, you know, they don't create these type of habits. You know, they kind of take control of what they want to take control of and run with it. And I wasn't doing that. And so I just remember right then and there saying, man, something's got to change or this is going to end really badly. And so I literally grabbed my stuff, you know, told them I was leaving and left and went home and got help. And that's kind of what started it.
Love it. Love it. You know, my favorite sports are basketball, tennis, and soccer. First of all, it's basketball and then, you know, tennis, soccer, and I also like American football. But, you know, I grew up everywhere in the world, so sports was sort of my connector. Sports was the way I made friends. Sports was the way I had built a lot of connections. And you said it was very important for you to go come back to college and be a college basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Man, so and like you hit on perfectly there, basketball's always been my number one. I've been playing basketball since I was probably 5 years old, and it's always been a great connector, and it's where I built a lot of friendship, and it's also where I saw the most personal growth in myself. And you know, playing, I was so lucky to have an incredible high school basketball coach by the name of Jermone Riley, and he's just a fantastic human being all the way around. He instilled a lot of personal characteristic traits in me in those years where, you know, I saw the most personal growth, and I wanted to come back to that. And, you know, like, you know, sports involves so many things like teamwork, you know, collaboration, fitting in with your role and figuring out how you're going to help the team best. And going through that in high school, I loved basketball, and I unfortunately had a knee injury my junior year, which is the recruiting year. And that's when I thought, okay, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. I'll go, you know, party and do the college student thing. And I didn't enjoy that. And so thinking back, you know, when I was in Tennessee, I had a lot of time to think and kind of ponder what really I wanted to do. And still being 19, I was young. I thought, okay, well, maybe I could play college basketball. And thank goodness I didn't listen to the people around me, because, you know, a 19, 20-year-old kid who didn't play right out of high school, it's very difficult to come back and do that. But I came back and you know, made that team and, you know, got recruited by them and played. And man, it's just the collaboration, the teamwork. I mean, it's literally like a little, you know, every single basketball game is like a little miniature life, if you will. Like, exactly. You know, there's the ups, there's the downs, there's, you know, the you're happy and then you're angry. It's such a unique experience, and I just love being involved in anything sports related.
It's a perfect mirror of life, really, because, you know, you work hard, sometimes you don't achieve the goal, and sometimes you achieve it. And I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday. You might hate me here now, because my favorite player is LeBron James, and I'm also a big Steph Curry fan, because I saw him. I went to school with his brother, and I remember when he was at Davidson's, Steph. But
yeah.
I was talking about the reason why I like people and admire people is not necessarily just because they're great at what they do, but I look at the processes they put. Now, with LeBron's analogy, I was talking about, you know, this prodigy 16-year-old on, you know, cover Sports Illustrated, you know, had everything pre-coordinated, MJ, you know, and then, you know, you leave home, everybody hates you, they think you're a sellout, and then you lose the first, your first year, and you come back, and then, you know, you win. But I always say it must be increasingly frustrating for you to train for all summer, all year, and then you spend 10 months playing a sport or 8 months, and then you reach the finals, all of a sudden you lose. And I'm like, man, all that work? And then you have to pick yourself back up to go back and say, okay, mindset change. I have to do it all again and wait for another 10 months. So I feel like that's such a parallel of life where it's not necessarily a series of overnight successes, but it's every single hour you shoot, every single day you spend in gym, every time you invest in yourself, it all pays off in the end if you stay consistent. So that's why I love that kind of stuff. I love that you illustrated that.
Yeah, and I'll say I'm also a big LeBron fan and a big Steph Curry fan, and that's one of the things, you know, I love. It's kind of like that life analogy you always hear. It's not about, it's about the journey and not the destination. And that's one of the things that I love about sports. That's a little different. See, I'm like the my favorite player growing up was Dennis Rodman. And so that's the type of basketball player that I was. I was the I'll do the dirty work guy. I didn't mind playing defense, and I was the defensive player of the year on my team. And it's just those are the things that I enjoyed doing. And so for me, practice and putting in the work was what I enjoyed the most. And so when game time came, it was, okay, let's show everybody what you've been working on. And so, but yeah, I mean, man, I couldn't, you know, leaving your hometown and playing and losing the first year like LeBron did, but you know, he came back and won 2 years in a row. So, you know, it's not that bad to be LeBron.
No, it's true. And but you know what you just said about Rodman, even though I said, whoa, Rodman is one of those complicated people that, I honestly would love to get together, but when I remember him playing, it was the dirty work, you said, the grunt work, but he was such a key part of the
goodness.
Yeah, well, those Bulls and the Detroit Pistons, and you know, people will say, oh, you're 26, how do you know? But I studied the games, and you heard what they said about him. It's exactly what you said. It's putting in the work, and I think that's almost underrated in today's world when it comes to millennials and entrepreneurship, is where everybody feels like you have to be like the LeBron or the Steph, where it's beautiful and it's like sweet, but the hustle is not really covered as much, and the grind and the grit and you know, and all that it takes, you know, because there's more than one path to success, right? So it's
and like one of the things it's like you said, being a role player, and that's, I think you hit it spot on too, and that's something that we talk about, you know, in my Yield Mastermind group is, you know, understanding that you don't, as long as you fit your role and you enjoy what you're doing, you're exactly right. It's not about being the LeBron James or the Steph Curry. You know, that obviously if you can be, that's great, and you should strive to be that if that's what you want to be. But man, you have to start somewhere, and not all of us, you know, are on the cover of Sports Illustrated when we're 16 years old. So
that's true. okay, so Yield Mastermind. Talk about it. Tell me what your mission is, and what you've done so far. You guys have, you know, you have your own podcast as well, which is doing well. So you've done a lot of things.
Yeah. So the Yield Mastermind group. Yield stands for Young Innovative Entrepreneurial Leadership and Direction. And so, really, what we're doing is targeting millennials specifically and trying to help people understand what their goals really are. We look at three areas of goal setting. We look at personal, professional, and spiritual or service goals. And the thing that I've realized in doing this is that, you know, millennials haven't had like a real high level education, or at least a lot of them, on what it looks like to be a leader, what it looks like to set goals, and what it looks like to have a grand scheme vision, and then, you know, kind of lay the groundwork as to how that's going to go. And so that's one of the major things that we do in the group, is we look at, you know, the 20,000 foot bird's eye view goals that we all have, and we break them down, and we meet twice a month. And this is all via a platform called Zoom, similar to Skype. And, you know, because we have people all over the country, we got members in New York, California, Nevada, Utah, Illinois. I mean, we're spread across the country, but it's fantastic. And it's such a cool thing to see people come into the group and kind of figure out exactly what their passions and dreams are, and then figure out ways to work towards that. And then we all collaborate. We all, you know, hold each other accountable to what we say we're going to do. And that's one of the things that I needed the most. I mean, you know, I'm an entrepreneurial minded person, and I'm also the guy that gets distracted by shiny objects. And so I'm you know, thinking about something one day, and then the next day something else pops up. Oh, I'm going to do that.
Right.
And so, you know, I need people holding me accountable to what I say I'm going to do, because if I'm holding myself accountable, I'm a lot less likely to follow through than if I have, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 people saying, hey, you said during the last meeting you were going to do this. Did you actually do it? And then I have to honestly answer, yes, I did, or no, I didn't. And thank you guys for, you know, holding me to what I said I was going to do.
No, I love that, and it is so true. We live in a FOMO generation, that fear of missing out.
Yes, yes.
Where everything, and you know, it's the digital age, everything comes out. You know, there's Snapchat one day, there's Periscope, there's that. You know, I think it's great. You guys have created a community where, you know, you've got accountability, and you've got this, you guys keeping each other accountable to what they truly want to do. What I want to talk to you about, though, was you said that leadership then, our generation, excuse me, I said our generation, you know, hasn't really had that example of what it truly means to be a leader. And I think that's scary because we are the next set of leaders, and some of us are already taking that mantle now. So why do you think we haven't had that that example?
Yeah, so I'm a kind of follow my own path, you know, I do my own thing. And so in my studies, what I've realized is that the way that we've been brought up and the way that the school system is, it's, you know, it's great for some people who want to be doctors and lawyers and things that you need to have the specific schooling for. But for other people, I think the way that school is set up, you know, you have to answer to people, turn in homework, and, you know, you're told that you have to do it this way and you're graded on certain things. I think that kind of sets us up to be followers. And in kind of, you know, in learning this when I was still a student, it was pretty cool to witness, because I could go to school and watch how other people were just so content with doing the bare minimum and answering the questions they were asked and not doing anything else. And I think that's been setting us up to kind of just be followers. And not that there's anything wrong with, you know, not being a leader per se, but, you know, people even in roles where they're not, you know, the head guy can still be leaders, and they can still own their work and, you know, put their own individual touch on things. And I think the way that we've been brought up, you know, with everything kind of, you know, I guess you could call it being handed to us, you know, with technology making things so easy. And then for us just to be, you know, kind of, everyone has college degrees nowadays. Everyone's going to college, or at least a lot more people are than they used to. Mm-hmm. And I think it just sets us up to just kind of do the bare minimum. And then, you know, kind of just jump into it. Basically, college, in my opinion, sets us up to go into these entry-level positions and really do the type of entry-level work that these, you know, major corporations want us to do. And now, of course, I'm generalizing. Not everyone has the ability to go to college, and not everyone that goes to college is content with doing the bare minimum and just following, you know, someone's orders. But in my opinion, and in the studying that I've done and the research that I've done, that's the majority of people entering the workforce nowadays are, you know, just entering, looking to do the bare minimum and get that paycheck and, you know, kind of just live a quote-unquote normal life, which just to me is not, doesn't fulfill my personal passion, doesn't fulfill things that I'm looking to do. But in the studies that I've done, that's what I've seen.
No, I mean, I can relate to you. I mean, I've gotten the MBA, I did the undergrad, and like you said, it's that there are, doesn't mean education is bad, you know, because I went through that process. But like you said earlier, I also, there was a point where I realized that I wasn't doing what I felt fulfilled in. And I think that's really important. I think, especially with our generation, that job satisfaction is something that we shouldn't really settle for, just because, you know, it's one thing to punch in the clock and go somewhere that you don't really feel fulfilled in. But then what happens with that is that becomes the next 40, 50 years of your life. And then, you know, do you want to be able to look at yourself at 70 and saying, I wish I had done that? Now, if you're, you know, a doctor, lawyer, or someone who's so fulfilled, whether, you know, in your profession, you've done that, that's fantastic. But I think for that percentage of people that feel like your acronym says, you know, they're young, innovative, entrepreneurial, especially entrepreneurial, and leadership and direction driven, I think they should be willing to bet on themselves. And I think what you've done by creating a community of people who feel the same way is great, because, you know, I think the narrative in society is almost it's skewed against people like that and saying, well, why are you not in school? What are you doing? You're betting, you're gambling. What if you get broke? You know, that's all a reality. But, you know, there's not enough community-driven platforms for people who want to take a bet themselves and just like say, hey, I want to try and build this platform. I want to be a leader of some sort.
Yeah. I mean, you're totally right. And that's one of the reasons that the community aspect is so important, is that like you hit on perfectly there. It's like you want to do your own thing, become an entrepreneur, or you're thinking outside the box. Other people around you look down on that for a number of reasons. It could be because they just want you to, you know, fall in line. It could be because they're upset that they didn't do that themselves, whatever the reason is. But when you join a community of people that do that, it makes it a whole lot easier and to be able to collaborate and, you know, learn. We have a workshop portion to our meetings too, where we kind of learn about these different techniques and learn about leadership in different ways. And it's just been a really, really cool process to see. And, you know, one of my mentors talks about something called the trapeze moment. And I think one of the reasons that people stay in a job they don't like for 40 or so years and then just kind of retire in the, you know, the generic sense of the word is because they're comfortable and they don't want to go out of their comfort zones. And this trapeze moment, you know, talks about, you know, you're holding on to this one trapeze bar. And in order to get to the next bar, you have to totally release the first bar and jump to the second bar. And a lot of people think, oh, if I just hold on to the first bar and then kind of grab onto the second one, I'll be able to kind of swing on both bars and make it work. And that's just not how it works at all. You have to be able to release that fear and kind of let go of that comfort for a little while and you know, take that risk. And if you do 100%, it totally pays off. And if it doesn't, you just have to look at it as a learning experience. And that's something that we talk about a lot as well, is that, you know, if you fail, it's not a bad thing. You have to learn from what you've done. And I mean, there's a lot of research that talks about how, you know, failure is actually something that really pushes a lot of people forward. And there's a quote that I love is, you know, fail early, fail often, and fail forward. Mm-hmm. As long as you're pushing yourself forward, then failure is not a bad thing at all. But if you look at failure as a setback and you get down on yourself, it makes things a whole lot more difficult. So,
yeah. I think with Thomas Edison, they failed more than 900 times or 9,000. I can't always forget before you got the light bulb. And you know, we always forget that. I've failed multiple times even trying to build a media company. And as you can imagine, you're competing with, you know, the established media brands, you know, the people they already have, you know, like the NBCs, the CBS, the Elite, everybody. They're already established with all these views. But it's one thing to say you've done your best and you've made an impact. And it's another thing to say I could have done my best and I could have made an impact.
And my goodness, that's that's one of the reasons that I think that made me work so hard to play college basketball, and that's continued to you know, drive my work ethic, is that I don't want to look back and think, man, I wish I would have done this, or oh, I could have done this if I would have just did that. I want to make sure that everything that I want to accomplish in my life, everything that I, you know, aspire to do, I want to at least give it my best effort, so that when I look back, I can say, you know what, maybe that didn't work out, but I gave it my best shot. And because I, you know, gave it my best shot, this other, you know, side road thing came up, and that's what drove me to become successful in my definition of the word. Yeah, I think that's spot on.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, I like I said, I was going to your website, I was like, this, I got to talk to this Philip guy more, because you reached out to me at first, and I was just researching, and I was looking at, you know, your stuff, your podcast. I was like, I love the exact things you're saying, because it is so true with our generation. And like I've told the audience, when this comes out, they know that I'm in the process of building a network of podcasts and digital content that I feel like millennials need access to. And it's because of everything you said. There is not enough resources out there. There are many resources that say, you know, millennials are lazy, entitled generation. And there are also many resources that claim to be, you know, out there for millennials. But what's happened is that it's treated more as a buzzword rather than, you know, like talking to us. It's more, it's like, millennials, product placement. And instead of of actually just hitting the points and I when you said that you had mastermind group and you reached out to me and I was talking about that, I feel like the more we cultivate resources like this, the better we're going to have, you know, better leaders we're going to have. Because sometimes I look at the world, you know, I grew up in 5 countries, you know, I'm from Nigeria, and you look at the world from a unique lens and you sort of see these patterns where, you know, a lot of us are just, we're looking for the content out there. We're just looking. We want to find that direction. We know we're not happy sometimes, and sometimes we are happy, but we feel like we don't have any avenue to teach the others how to do that. And you know, I just want to commend you on creating such a resource for that, because it's fantastic.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, Ty. I appreciate that, and I commend you, because I was that same person. I mean, you know, there's content for the CEOs, and there's content for people that have already made it, and I was just so desperately looking for content that related more specifically to me. And I couldn't find it. And so the fact that you're putting something like this together is just makes me so happy, because it's going to make it so much easier for people to find what they're looking for and find what relates to them so much more than just the generic content that's out there. Because we live in a world now where, man, there's so much information overload. It's almost impossible to find what you're looking for in the sea of information out there. And so to have a place where you know, a millennial like myself could go and find more content is just absolutely awesome. So thank you for putting that together for all of us millennials out there.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And speaking of putting stuff together, your mastermind is about bringing people together. How can people reach out to you on that path? And how can they say, hey, Philip, I've got this great idea, or I want to be part of your amazing group. You know, where can I reach you? What would you tell them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we have a couple different ways. I mean, of course, we're on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter, and we have a YouTube channel. Everything's at Yield Mastermind. And then we have a website, which is yieldmastermind.com. And on that website, we have a couple different forms and areas where you can fill out information and, you know, join our mailing list. And then I'll give you my personal email is, you know, yieldmastermind@gmail.com. And that is my specific personal email. So if anyone wants to get in touch, wants to become part of the group, has a question, whatever it is, please reach out to me on that. I'll personally get back to you, you know, within a very short time frame. Because, I mean, our group is great, and we're always looking to push the bar. And one of the things that my dad said to me early on that stuck with me is, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And so, I'm always looking to up the level of, you know, collaboration and communication and accountability in the group. I'm always looking for people who are, you know, trying to accomplish incredible things. And everyone in the group loves hearing stories like that. So if anyone wants to, and we allow people to be guests to a couple meetings before they join. So at the very least, you know, contact me and just be a guest and see what we're all about. It's an awesome platform for you to learn and grow and share and get in touch with a community of like-minded people.
Oh, love it. Love it. And I can tell we're definitely going to be talking more just because I'm looking for like-minded people myself. And, you know, in the journey to help make an impact, I feel like surrounding myself with, you know, like-minded people is one of the best ways to do that. So I always close out the interview with this. My mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. How are you using your difference to make a difference?
Yeah, man, that is a great question. And for me, it's everything that I went through in my life, you know, the addiction, the homelessness, and, you know, but growing up in the privilege and seeing what it takes to be successful, I think my difference in having gone through the things I went through and, you know, I don't, as much as I am glad that I learned those lessons, I don't want other people to have to go through those deep and intense of lessons to learn the same things that I learned. So in going through all that stuff and knowing what I know, I want to help people, you know, push forward and realize their goals and their dreams without having to, you know, have some of the same, you know, failures or setbacks or obstacles that I hit. If I can share my story and help somebody, you know, I guess hurdle across a couple of obstacles without having it phase them, I think that would be an absolute incredible win for me and a win for them. And so that's really what I'm trying to do, is just use everything I've learned to help push people forward and reach their goals. Because as you know, it's not easy, and it takes a lot of grind and a lot of effort to reach your goals, but it's so doable. And I think people stop short. They stop so close. There's a book called 3 Feet from Gold, and it's a great analogy because, you know, a lot of times we have these passions and we push towards them and we stop so close to the breaking point. And I just want to make sure that people don't do that, that they understand that their goals, you know, can be achieved. And I want to give them practical, you know, measurable ways to see that happen. So that's really what I'm trying to do.
All right. Well, I love it. I love it. I'll make sure we put all your links in the show notes and your links to your podcast as well. And make sure we put that there. Because it's, you know, it's doing well, and I'm very happy for you at that. And we'll put everything on show notes. And please, guys, this is a great initiative. And you can obviously tell that, you know, Philip is a person that's as honest as it can be, but it's very introspective and really has a pure heart to make a difference. So we'll do everything on our end to make sure we share your message and we spread the word. And looking forward to you know, seeing where you go a year from now.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Tyler, and I'm gonna have to get you on my show because you're the perfect guest for my audience to hear from.
Anything you need, man. Anything you need, I'm there. So I'll be more than happy awesome. To do it. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me. You're doing a great thing, and I'm excited to see where your listeners go in their lives.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.